Ephesians chapter 6. Your worship team. And if you have noticed, we've made some capital improvements on the building. How many noticed the parking lot's a little more striped there, a little coated? We fixed a few areas, not every area, but we fixed what we can. How many noticed God's house needs to look good? We do what we can, and we've also upgraded one of our air conditioner units. There's still the old R22. If you know anything about old refrigerant, that stuff's like gold. So little by little, we try to keep the building nice. I like a nice house of God. Amen? I don't worship it, but I like the nice house. So we try to do what we can to keep things shaped up, and keep them going. Hallelujah. I look forward to a day where we can pay this puppy off. I already got a party in my mind, free of charge for everybody. We just show up and have a mortgage-burning ceremony. Amen? And here's the next thing as your pastor. I will never take this church into debt to make things happen here. Yeah. Amen? Every building fund I've ever been a part of, offering decreases. Say amen? And then you're saddled with some big note that you hope you can make and pay. That's too much stress. Is everybody with me on that? As God provides, as He enables us, then we'll make those moves. We'll try to be always wise with it. Let's face it, I like air conditioning. Anyway, who knows what I'm talking about? How many ever had your air go out in your house? How many of those instantly you go, oh man, Jesus, help me. Amen? Oh, you can fix them. But the truth is that I like air conditioning. Hallelujah. I like it because heaven's an air-conditioned place. When He told the priests in the Old Testament, He says, thou shalt not sweat in these garments. So bless the Lord. So now if you want to sweat in heaven, maybe the Lord will grant that to you, but I like it nice and cool. Amen. I do like the sun, though. This has been wonderful weather. If anyone's complaining about this weather, you can't. Amen. When a lot of the country is 115. Now, I'm going to make this straight about heat. Well, Arizona has dry heat. If you've ever been to Arizona in the summer, it is hot. No matter how much you say about humidity, hot is still hot. Can I get an amen to that? I remember going in my cars in Arizona. Man, it was 140 degrees in there. Everyone has to crack their windows because they bust, they get so hot. It's just hot. So hot is hot. Amen. I like our seasons. I just want winter to be a little bit shorter. Anybody with me on that? Bump it a little bit earlier and
let it snow.
Yeah, let it snow. Ephesians 6, verse 12. You there? It says, for we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against what? Against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness's present age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. These are real today. They're just as real when Jesus came, just as real when Adam walked on the planet. There are spiritual wickedness in high places. Over every city, over every area, over every strategic area, there's demonic activity that is at work. And sometimes you can see it when a country will starve its people to death just for money. When a country could drill a well for their people and take care of a whole village, but they won't because of money. How many knows that there's strongholds all over? That's spiritual wickedness. People being enslaved like never before. And it's an epidemic. You don't hear a whole lot about it, but human trafficking is an epidemic today. It said it would happen in the book of Revelation too. It's an epidemic. People being taken prisoner and sold off to other countries. I mean, that's disgusting and sick, but that's part of the world we live in. More and more, you're starting to see that the end is approaching rapidly. It's like, man, we're one step away so many times from the clock ticking, but the church needs to be about its Father's business. The reason why it hasn't all blown apart is because the Holy Spirit is still on planet Earth. It's the Spirit that withholdeth those things. And when the church enters into that realm, in the spiritual realm, against the wickedness, there's power there. God wants to teach us to war. He wants to teach us to look at things and say, well, I guess I got to accept that because that's just the way it always is. No, you can change that. If your family is stuck in alcoholism and you get saved, you broke the cycle. Say amen. The rest of the family can be broken from it too. The vices that are over, you can break those things. Generational curses can be broken in Jesus' name. But if we don't operate in the authority God's given us, then we're not stepping out in those things. It's like being totally armored but never using it. Amen? I'm totally dressed for battle, but all I'm doing is staying in a certain area that has no battle. No, the truth is that I'm in the battle. When you get saved, you're a warrior. You get signed up. You're in that arena. But the Lord's got to teach us, Lord, teach us how to battle, how to come against those things. Because I believe this with all my heart, that when you didn't know Christ, there were strongholds in operation in your life and family. There were blinders in your life. I mean, when you got saved, like, oh man, a whole new arena opened up. Oh man, I'm so thankful. One of the things you're thankful I didn't die and go to hell. It's amazing how that revelation begins to work in you. You'd be thankful for your salvation. You start to see change. Well, notice that you went from darkness to light. In that instant change, something happens. We need to see that in others. I don't know who all prayed for you in your life, but somebody did. Maybe in eternity, the Lord will reveal more for that person. Maybe you never met them before in your life, and the Lord dropped a word in somebody's heart to pray for you. I like what Paul Young-Gi Cho said. Listen, we sent so many missionaries out from America. He's from South Korea. We need to send now missionaries back to America. We need missionaries again in America. I appreciate your church going out and sharing, witnessing, reaching doors. And believe me, it stirs up the enemy too. He doesn't like it. But that's all right. How many of us, God is good? God is good. Whenever there's a step out, there's always opposition. We need to start looking and say, you know what? I have authority in Christ. It's like there are strongholds that get built up. There are prejudices that are formed. There are opinions that are made. And those opinions at times can keep you out of the kingdom. In my own personal family, I've had my own personal family tell me this. Well, I believe that Jesus is the way, but he's not the only way. There are other ways to get to heaven. Jesus ended that argument and says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He knew that question would come up even a few thousand years later. But it's amazing how you can hold on to that. That from my family, one of the family members, a grandfather or great-grandfather, spoke this, and the grandfather picked it up, then the father picked it up. I have that in my own family. I have some things that my dad believes that his dad taught him that are totally not even gospel truths. But Lord God, I pray in the name of Jesus, you'll open up his eyes. Because arguing scripture does not get anywhere, nothing done. Amen? Just like you can't argue with a drunk, don't even bother. It makes no sense. But Lord Jesus, open up their eyes. Can God do that to anyone? Then we need to pray. We need to start using the authority God's given. It's not against flesh and blood. There are times the enemy will come against you and may use an individual, but you got to see sometimes past that. You got to see past that area and see, you know what? The enemy is motivating that individual. Now, they're responsible for their actions, but I know this for a fact. I share this with the first service. I've been flipped off more driving a bus or a church van than any other vehicle in my life. And I'm thinking to myself, I haven't cut you off. I haven't done anything wrong. I'm driving the speed limit, yet what's up with that? And it's amazing to me that even the disgruntled faces, the scrunching, like, ugh! And I'm thinking, wow, praise the Lord, amen? I mean, sometimes I'm thinking something different too. Say amen. I mean, I still got flesh too. But Lord, touch them. It's a spiritual realm there. It's like an area where like they don't understand they're even being used by the enemy, even though they have full faculties. We have to start looking at when the enemy rises up, you know what? Your battle isn't with that individual. It's that spirit that's behind it. We have to look at it and bring down those strongholds because the same person who persecutes the gospel in the next breath could be preaching the gospel. Paul was no different. He had a sound mind in the natural. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees. He was brilliant concerning the Jewish religion. Then he met Jesus. Then he met him. He said, well, who are you? I'm Jesus whom you're persecuting. Could you imagine that in his own mind? I'm persecuting you? When you persecute my people, you're persecuting me. He thought he was doing God's service by putting Christians in prison. He thought he was promoting the Jewish gospel, as it were. But Jesus said, that's me you're persecuting. And he became the greatest evangelist, in fact, the greatest apostle the world has ever seen. Then we need to see that also. We need to see the potential. Sometimes those who come against you the most probably the greatest evangelists ever. Start to look past that area and say, you know, I'm going to come against that spirit that's in operation. Now, the individual still has responsibility. Don't get me wrong. But I'm going to come against that first. I'm going to come against that area that they have no clue they're even operating. I remember one time I had a boss, and the Holy Ghost came on me. And I don't recommend this. Okay? Can I preface that? He was coming against me. He goes, you know what? I witnessed to this guy, his family. Well, this guy turned around and told my boss I witnessed to him. The next morning, I show up to work. There was three bosses. They invited me. As soon as I stepped out of my car, they were all standing at the door. It was just amazing to me. 7 a.m. in the morning, they said, hey, can you come on in here? They all had their head out the door. I'm like, uh-oh. And the Holy Spirit peace just came over me, said this. Right, it's almost like so real in my heart. Don't say a thing. Don't say a thing. I walked up the steps. They had this big office. They sat down, and man, they just went off. We have our own religion here. You don't need to be telling any more about this God stuff, this Jesus stuff. And they went off, and man, they were fiery. And I remember sitting there going, wow. Really, I was going, wow. Man, looking at their faces, they're all red, they're angry. And I didn't say a word. And I just, okay, I'll honor your word. And I walked out. Amen? I'm glad he tipped me off ahead of time. Because I had a whole lot to say. And I was right. Lord, you work. Amen? It's a spiritual thing. I didn't witness to them. But it's amazing who I witnessed to turned it around and spoke to them. You ever felt betrayed before? How many of you can go through a million type emotions with it? But you know what? It's that spirit that's in operation. It's like I hold nobody in it. No, Lord, they don't even understand they're being used. Hallelujah. Then, Lord, you touch. Then I just speak a word, Lord, over them. Touch in the name of Jesus. It wasn't long the Lord was going to release me from this company. But I prayed, Lord, before I go, send another born-again, spirit-filled believer that loves you, that can be a witness here. 2 weeks before I left, they hired another gentleman. I come and talk to him. It wasn't long. I could tell he was solid, loved the Lord. And I share with him. I go, Lord, the Lord's releasing me here. He goes, I know the Lord just brought me to this place. You can take the witness from here. Say amen. How many of the Lord can do it? Well, these gentlemen, as long as I was there, never got saved. But I'd pray for them continually. Lord, touch their hearts. Touch them in the name of Jesus. Show them, Lord God, remove the blinders that are there. Because I know my weapons are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Since Jesus is above all, above every principality and power, then I come against those strongholds, those opinions, those areas, those prejudice, those thoughts that blind people's eyes. I tear them down in Jesus' name. That your word can find lodging place in the heart and bear fruit. That all that stuff that's in their mind, the word can cut right through it. Like what happened to you can happen to somebody else. How did you get saved? And if you got saved, everybody else is easy. We need to have that type of faith and power. How many were ex-heathens in here? How many here still made a mistake even after you got saved? Aren't you glad for the grace of God? I'm so glad that we don't wear our sins like a scroll behind us. But the enemy would like to pick it up and read it. And believe me, if the enemy reminds you of your past, rebuke it. And if he uses another person to do it, you can silence that in Jesus' name. Never be the person to go, well, you know what? Val, I got a prayer request, but let me fill you in on this. How many knows you don't need to fill them in? Just pray for them. Hallelujah. Because all that other stuff isn't going to add one more bit of power. Let's pray for the need. Touch it. Amen? And you know what? The bigger the family, the more the stuff. Are you hearing me? And if you can't handle the stuff, you probably shouldn't be the one that hears it anyways. Oh, say amen. How many knows that there's stuff in families? Sometimes you just got to go, yeah, I understand. Praise the Lord. Boom, let's pray for it. Come on. We can't just judge that. Oh, my gosh. Oh, man, what am I going to do? Let me tell 16 other people about this. Let's get a prayer chain and never pray. No, you find somebody who can agree with you that isn't blown away by your stuff. I'll agree with you. Amen. Because in every family, there's something there that needs a touch. And Jesus took sinners and changed them into mighty warriors. He made princes and princesses out of people who didn't deserve it. Thanks be to God. Somehow the blinders came off your eyes. We need to also do that. But we have to have expectation too. We have to pray in that area. In Ephesians 3 verse 10, it says this, that they may know the intent manifold wisdom of God. We need to know that also. To the churches, there are powers and principalities in those areas that we start to understand the kingdom. That Jesus said, these are real today. In Scripture, there's real proof that Satan was real. Now, I'm not here to convince you of that. You already know, but truthfully, if you have your Bibles, turn to Luke chapter 4. I don't have a whole lot of time this morning. Luke chapter 4. And I mentioned to the first service, if you want to come to an awesome service teaching, Wednesday nights we're going through the book of Colossians. We have an unbelievable speaker that comes every week. He does kind of look like me. And we're going through the book of Colossians, verse by verse. If you want some meat, some steak, there you go. In Luke chapter 4, verse 1 says this, and Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, returned from Jordan, was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, and being tempted 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing, and afterwards he hungered. I'd say amen to that. Now, verse 13. Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time. Listen, to defeat the enemy, being filled with the Spirit is really a priority. You can't beat him in the natural. You can't beat him by wishing he'd go away. And he doesn't bow to dirty, rotten devil. You may have named him, but you have to have authority. No, in Jesus' name, this is going. Now, in 40-day fast, that's a supernatural fast. Would you agree? You have to be led by God to stay that long. There's no doubt about it. Well, back in Jesus' day in Palestine, there were rocks that looked like loaves of bread. So when Satan said, hey, why don't you use your own power to meet your own needs here and command these stones? So you could look down and go, you know what? When you're hungry, when I'm hungry, I can smell food a mile away. When I'm fasting, I can smell barbecue like three blocks over. I'm like a dog that has his nose out the window. I can smell it a mile away. Anybody like me? We're doing Rib Fest in October, by the way. All right, if you like ribs, it's going to happen then. But the truth is that use your own power. Satan's saying, don't trust God to meet your needs here. Or this, I share with the first service. Don't let the demonic tell you what the Word of God is or how to operate in it. Don't let the demonic lips tell you what you should do. Just command these stones to be made bread. It's coming out of Satan's mouth. No, I'm only going to do what God speaks to me. That's whose father I am. See, we need to realize there was a dimension there. Now he's fasting 40 days. You would be hungry. You would be. The body breaks down in those things. And now Satan's trying to tempt man where Adam fell. But Jesus is going to get victory here. Adam fell by eating. He's going to sustain. No, I'm not doing it. Then he brings another temptation by and says this, and none of us in this room could last this one. I'll show you all the kingdoms of the whole world, all its glory, all its money, all its power, all its fame, and I'll give it unto you if you'll bow down and worship. We fell way before then. And Jesus said, it's mine already. It's written. Then he takes them. He takes them up to a place, the pinnacle, like it'd be the top of the roof. And he's saying he's up there with him. And Jesus doesn't defute any of this. This is all real. If you'll jump down from here, just cast yourself down. Here's what Scripture says. Angels will undergird you and bring you down safely, lest you dash your foot against the stone. That is actual scripture. But what he's saying is that just tempt God and jump down on your own power. Just trust my word that you'll be okay. God didn't tell him to go up there. That's why that God doesn't tell you to jump out of an airplane without a parachute. He didn't ask you to run in traffic. Did he tell you to do that? The answer is no. Say amen. So when Jesus looking at it, my Father didn't tell me to do this, even though it's scriptural, the ultimate deception is the twisted word of God. It's 99% accurate, but it's 1% off. You get 1% off, and soon you're a million miles away. Amen? Even your GPS isn't that accurate either. Sometimes it'll get you there, but I know Jeff and I, when we went up north, we had GPS program. It led us right to a prison. It did. And I told Jeff, maybe you need to be here, brother. I don't know. Maybe we just pull in, and I'll just drop you off. But it literally led us to it. Like, I couldn't believe it. Like, we had to backtrack so many miles. Like, what's up with that? Amen? Well, the truth is, Lord, I want to be accurate. Everywhere man fell in temptation, Jesus got victory over. And you look at verse 13. And the devil had to leave him for an opportune time. For the first time, his temptations did not work on mankind. Could you imagine the frustration that day? When he offered what was the golden opportunity to fall, and Jesus said, no, it is written. For the first time, all of a sudden, the God-man, the man side of his life now, was living the same as the God side. There was purity in progress. And now, all of a sudden, the potential had shifted. And Satan now has to scramble and look for an opportunity. That's why he thought by killing Jesus, he would have ended it. But the wisdom was so hid from him that crucifying Jesus ended his reign. Had he had known that, he'd have never done it. But that was hidden in God. Can you see how from that moment on, they wanted Jesus dead? I got to kill this guy. He's the only one that hasn't fell. I just want to get rid of him. It was all in God's plan. He had to pay the price in the flesh to redeem us in the flesh. Isn't that cool? Now here's the other side of the equation. The same spirit he had back then, we have now. I have the same Holy Ghost in me that Jesus had. So you want to know how vast your spirit is? Can fit the Spirit of God in. We don't even live up to any potential, really, if you think about it. You have the Holy Ghost in you. Our weakness is this flesh. We have to bring it subject. We have to say, you know, I'm going to crucify this, that the Spirit can live more in my life. Amen? The most vulnerable you become is after a move of God or after a service. You have to be cautious sometime. Don't let the enemy trip you up. It can happen from your family. It can happen from a friend. It can happen from a total stranger. No, I'm not going to trip up here. Amen? And a lot of times we'll trip up out of our mouth and what we're thinking. I mean, agree with me there. Then, Lord, I'm going to put this in practice. Lord, put it. Can you imagine Jesus? All the hateful words, if you read scripture real close, they called him illegitimate. They said to his face, you have a demon. Could you imagine people voicing, you have a demon and you're God? And yet he wasn't offended. He knew what was in man. He always came against what was behind that. Hallelujah. And here's another truth. No one will escape. When people think, I'll just use the world. If they think they lived their whole life and nobody saw, he saw. And one day you'll give an account of your life, even what nobody else knew that he knows. And all the detestable things that have happened, Hitler will receive just what is due to him. So will Haman. So will those gentlemen. They will all receive what is due to them. No one escapes this area. And destroying mankind, believe me, is a serious business with God. Ultimately, Satan will get the most unbelievable punishment forever and ever and ever. But man will be cast into the lake of fire, which burns with it too. What a sad day that will be. The saddest day for God is still coming when he has to say, depart from me, I never knew you. Knowing that he did everything he could to keep you from that area. Even his tears one day will be wiped away. Hallelujah. What great joy he has by us serving him. But how much more, we're his kids. He wants us to walk in what he has provided. I've given you everything that pertains to life and godliness. Exercise it. I've given you authority over every work. Doesn't it say you can trample on every work of the enemy? Yes or no? Yes. Then we need to start stomping. Yes. We need to start stepping on it. We need to start using those things that the Bible says, these are mine. Jesus was tempted to show the enemy's real. If you're taking notes this morning. In Luke chapter 8, verse 26 through 36, this is the area where he met a demoniac. And the demon said this, don't cast this out, don't disembody us. Cast us into pigs. And when he says go, they entered the pigs and went off the cliff. It shows again that the demonic side was there. And Jesus made it clear, when somebody is possessed and they get free, they need to get filled with the Holy Ghost. When that vessel is swept clean, the enemy will look to reinvent that area and go into that area and bring more wickedness in. But you get filled with the Holy Ghost. That's why it's so crucial that that spirit is filled with God. Now, the truth is about these pigs. The Jews that were operating this were actually doing an illegal operation. Jews had nothing to do with swine. So those that were keeping the pigs were actually out of order according to Scripture. Say amen. When the people went to the townspeople came out and said this, we saw what happened. We don't want you. We want the pigs. When my mother was still alive, she went to one of those areas. Some of those areas are still overrun with swine today. If you don't want Jesus and you want pigs, you can have pigs. How many want Jesus? Could you imagine Jesus looking at a people group and saying, you want pigs instead of me? You can have what you ask. What a sad day. How many people one day will wake up and go, man, I didn't want him. I needed him. I chose this over him. Lord, let's open up eyes. When I always look at the prodigal father, how many times did he pray for his kids? Here's faith. Every day he looked down the road. That's faith. That isn't like pleading, oh God. No, maybe today. And he felt that little twinge of like, he didn't come today, but you know what? I'm going to believe tomorrow too. It doesn't remove you from pain. It doesn't even remove you from unbelief or even fear or a little bit of hurt. But every day he came back to the place of faith and said, you know what? Maybe today my son's coming home. I'm going to keep praying. I dealt with that emotion that day. Maybe today. And then one day, all of a sudden, it kind of looks like my kid coming up the road. But notice the father was always ready to receive the kid no matter when he came. I got the robe, I got the ring, I got the fatted calf. We also need to operate in faith. If your family is away from the Lord, operate in faith. They're coming home. They're coming home. They're coming home. I'm a little upset they're not here yet, but they're coming home. I'm keeping looking. I'm coming against that spirit. And notice when the son finally came to himself. I pray our families don't go this low. When he was in the pig pen, eating what the pigs eat, and nobody paid attention to him, and he stunk, he finally came to himself. Sometimes the Lord will allow you to go rock bottom before you got to get it together. But even rock bottom, you can get up from there. Amen? When the kid came home, he stunk. How are you going to respond when they come home? Oh, it's about time. You squandered everything I gave you. I don't even deserve. No, listen to me. You have to have a heart of love. Yes, all that is true, but you don't need to harp on it. You need to put the best robe on there, give them a shower, and let them repent to you. I blew it. I squandered. And believe me, that's what they need to do. That's humility. If we pound them on the head, we drive away a work of God that God wants to bring from their life. That's good preaching. Somebody say that's good preaching. Even if I say so. Here's another proof in Scripture. Satan tries to imitate God. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 13 through 15, it says this, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself transforms himself into an angel of light. He tries to make himself like God. He tries to make himself in that arena. So spiritually, listen to me, you try to look and discern. You got to have the Holy Ghost working. But I've been a Christian long enough, you can always tell the work of the enemy by its fruit. A good tree produces good fruit. An evil tree produces evil fruit, no matter what the conversation is. Sometimes you got to go past the conversation and look at the fruit. Satan's modes are always to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He's always trying to make a deceptive practice of hiding that. But if you look long enough, you'll be able to determine. The demonic trinity is always in operation. Then, Lord Jesus, I'm coming against that in the name of the Lord. Amen? I share with the first service family here, if you have a son and Miss Beautiful comes up and he can't tell the difference between flesh and spirit, you may have to speak a word there. It's amazing how ladies can go, yeah, she says this, but this is what she's doing. Don't disregard that. Amen? If Mr. Wonderful walks into your daughter's life and you can see there's some things that are real wrong, you can speak to that area. It's amazing to me, well, we're in love. That don't mean you turn off your brain either. Sometimes a little, hey, look, you need to look at this. Amen? But instill those values. As a church, what's blinding the minds of those in unbelief? The enemy. Then come against that. For my Father, here's how I pray. Jesus, I pray you'll open up his understanding. Lord, the word that's been sown in his heart, bring it alive. Give me divine opportunities to speak a word in due time in the name of Jesus. Satan, loose him now. Every hold, every infirmity in Jesus' name. Now I'm going to share this with you. In my family, alcoholism has been a terrible thing. There's third and fourth generation alcoholics in my family. I'm not proud of it. It's reality. When we got family reunions, it was always based upon alcohol. And we're talking half-gallon sizes. I got saved. That cycle was broken. Amen? In my family, my brother, my sister, and my deceased mother are all Christians. My dad's the only one that isn't. In my family, my dad has brothers, and I have zillions of cousins. One of my aunts got saved, and she began to pray for her husband to be set free from alcohol. And you know what? He got set free and isn't even born again yet. He honored her prayer. One day he looked at himself and says, I need to change. How many knows he's on the road for salvation? He's now being clothed in his right mind. The things are opening up. Don't give up on your families. Even if you see nothing going on, God's still at work. He changed you in a moment. He can do it in this situation. Let's not add our disbelief or unbelief to it. Oh, he can't do that. He's God. Amen? Listen to me. If the enemy's trying to manipulate the word of God to you, I'm not going to listen to that. I'm going to do what God says. Even if it sounds pretty close, Lord, I want the true word of God. Then I'm going to see it happen. Then believe that. Well, it didn't happen. I prayed once. Keep praying. Keep knocking. If it's a mountain that's in your family, guess what? Every time the hammer's hit, another chip comes off. If the mountain isn't moving, I'm going to bore a hole right through it. But every time I smack it with the word of God, guess what? There's a little change. I don't like the little chips, I like the big chips. But bless God, I'm going to keep breaking it. It breaks the rocks into pieces. Hallelujah. Give me the strength to endure this. Because one day that mountain will be cast out. Can you do it, church, for your family? Then start to recognize the spirit in operation. Every city, every county, every nation has a stronghold of the enemy. Tries to captivate that. But you know what? Greater is he that's in us. Amen. If we could see ourselves, we're covered in burlap, but inside's like glowing, the light of life. And that's what the enemy recognizes. He can see that who you are. That's why he tries to trip you up. Outwardly, we look normal, natural, like burlap over, but inside we radiant. And in the demonic realm, they recognize it because it's light and it's darkness. There's no gray with this. It's for him or against him. There is no fence. There is no fence. You're either on this side or you're on this side. As for me and my house, we're serving the Lord. Because you can't go from darkness to gray. You go from darkness to light. Amen? Walk in the light as you have the light. Then we need to see that happen. I'm not seeing people come and go. They're coming and staying. They're coming and planting. They're coming and growing in Christ. Hallelujah. I'm here enjoying this series on dealing with the enemy. Let's put it into practice. Come against that spirit of, God will give you wisdom. And when you run out of your words in your natural, fill with the Holy Ghost. Speak those words in the spirit. It unlocks that supernatural. That's why he gives you a prayer language to pray for things you don't know how to pray for. It empowers you to articulate in the spiritual realm far greater than you could ever imagine in your natural. I'm thankful I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Amen. Enjoy this morning. If you would, lift your hands towards heaven. Father, in the name of Jesus, fresh wind and fire to fall. Fresh wind to blow upon your people. Lord, fresh understanding, Lord God, of the spiritual realm. That, Lord, we know we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against rulers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. So we cast down this morning every vain imagination, everything that exalts itself against your knowledge. We bring every thought captive to the obedience of Christ in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, from our own families, Lord, open up their eyes to see, their ears to hear. Father, I pray for divine encounters for our family, boldness for servants to witness to them. Lord, bring them to their right senses like the prodigal son, that he looks up and realizes there's more in your house than what they possess. Father, dare I say, bring them to that place that they finally look up to you. Lord, into your hands, whatever it takes. And Lord, let me have the heart, Lord Jesus, to receive them, to not look at their stench, to not look at what they've squandered, but to love them all the way through, to give them the best robe. What they didn't deserve, Lord, let us give it to them, because that's what you did to us. But Lord, it was all predicated on their repentance. Lord, when they repent, oh God, Lord, let us not be the one to say, I told you so, but let us wrap our arms around them and gently bring them back in and say, I'm glad you're home. Rejoice with me. My son and daughter that was lost is now found, and I'll have a party with them. Hallelujah. Lord, let us have that heart. Now bless your people with strength. Continue to move in our lives in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless